Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines at 3 o'clock on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, live from Jimmy's on First, across the street from Lumen Field, where tonight the Sounders and Pumas will take part in the Champions League final. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I listen to you often because you're not interesting.
You need tickets for tonight's game. Check out VenueKings.com. They got plenty, and be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little discount. Well, there's news in the NFL. The scheduled Dick will come out next Thursday, but today we found out the Seahawks and Tampa Bay will play a game in Munich, Germany. The first ever game in Germany on November the 13th. The president of the local Munich Seahawk fan club, Schneider von Suckenschlong, will join us on the radio show at 5 o'clock tonight.
I've heard of him. There will be three London games.
You like that, huh?
Three London games in October as well, with the Vikings, Saints, Giants and the Packers, and the Broncos taking on the Jags. The Mexico City game features the 49ers and Cardinals, and according to Softy's reporting, there are a massive Cardinal contingent
and
in Mexico
Niners.
That I've never heard of before.
Both. That's going to be a crazy, crazy game. What else we got? Mariners get swept in Houston, losing 7-2 this afternoon. They end the road trip 2-7. They've lost 7 of 8. They're now 12-13. Back home against Tampa tomorrow with Robbie Ray on the mound tomorrow for the Mariners.
How about some Mariner good news?
Okay.
Kyle Lewis was back in action last night. Had three hits, including a home run in his first at bat for the Tacoma Rainiers.
I like that. NBA basketball, Boston evening up the series with the Bucks last night at a game apiece. Grizz do the same with Golden State after Ja Morant dropped 47 last night for Memphis. Tonight, 76ers, Miami, heat up one game to none. That game at 4:30. Sixers are giving 8, is that right, in that game tonight? You say play the Sixers?
I like the points.
Is that correct? Okay.
I like the points.
Phoenix, Dallas tonight, game 2 with Phoenix up 1-0 at 7 o'clock.
And the Cougs Hoops team grabs a 4-star, 7-footer.
Ooh.
Adrame Diong,
I believe,
is his name.
Don't ask me.
D-I-O-N-G-U-E. No, there's no phonetical pronunciation around there. So.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go, 3:02 on a busy Wednesday afternoon right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. They call this the calm before the storm, baby. Mm-hmm. As we're getting ready for the Sounders and Pumas at 7 o'clock tonight on the radio show. I got a tweet today from a guy on my Twitter account who was complaining that we don't do enough coverage of the Sounders soccer team. He actually was lumping us and the Times in together. Did you see this, by the way? This guy, Jeff A. Ape on Twitter, says, ridiculous that KJR and the Seattle Times not pumping the Sounders. Weak, says this guy. And I said, wait a minute. We had Brian Schmetzer on yesterday. Every show gave away tickets. We're broadcasting live from 1 to 6:30 across the street today from Jimmy's. Garth Lagerway's coming by. Grant Wall's coming by. Matt Stretch Johnson's going to come by and probably drop his pants and dump a beer on his head at about 5 o'clock tonight. We got the game on FM radio at 7 o'clock. What the hell are you talking about, Jeff A? What are you talking about? Turn on the damn radio station, you dork.
Well, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story there. What's his name?
Jeff A. Ape.
Jeff A. Ape.
At Ape underscore Jeff A.
Nice work, Jeff A. Ape.
Yeah, so we are fired up for this, man. I tell you what, man, Ian's making me nervous because I was listening on the way down here and I saw his Twitter account that all you see is Pumas fans walking around so far. Well, first of all, it's 3:03. The game doesn't kick off for 4 hours, and I would assume that most of these Pumas fans are in town as tourists and aren't working right now or staying at hotels and wanted to get down here and maybe soak up the atmosphere. Well, most of the Sounder fans are probably either A, at work, or B, at home right now.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Right. I saw a big group of Pumas fans. I think, you know, I think the prediction was that Jackson said a few thousand yesterday. I think that prediction's a little – I think that's a little optimistic by our friend Jackson that only thinks 2,000 or 3,000 Pumas fans are going to be in this building. I think there's going to be a much larger contingent of Pumas fans than we saw Toronto fans in that MLS Cup.
Yeah, I think that's wishful thinking, pal. There might be 2,000 fans in your booth, for God's sakes, for this game tonight with Pumas for the CONCACAF Champions League final. But you know what actually is interesting about our friend Jackson? That his birthday is on – is your birthday Friday or Monday when you turn 30?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday, okay. And you're taking Thursday, Friday off, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, which is, again, like we said, a veteran move, because if they win this thing tonight, Jackson's going to be doing lines of cocaine. All right, he'll be doing anything available to him.
He's going straight there. Huh?
Any drug that anybody will shove in his face, he's going to ingest it. So he's going to be in no mood or frame of mind to do the show tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, you heard what Brian Schmetzer said last night. We asked him flat out, if you win this game tomorrow, how do you get ready for Dallas on Saturday? He said, well, if we win, we're going to suck on Saturday. Are you kidding me? We got no shot on Saturday, so I think we should give you your birthday present right now, okay? Because you're not going to be here tomorrow on Friday.
Okay.
You're taking those 2 days off, you turn 30. So Dick and I have put something together for you with the help of our friend Brian Schmetzer. Here now is your 30th birthday present. Check it out.
Hey, Jackson. It's me, Brian Schmetzer. Hey, listen, congratulations. You made it to 30. I mean, that's an awesome, awesome, you know, accomplishment. I hope you got a few more years in you. But look, I got to tell you one thing, just as a friend. You're 30 freaking years old. Stop stalking Jordan Morris. Stop wearing, you know, Sounders uniforms into work. Get a suit and tie. Grow up, for God's sakes. Happy birthday.
Beautiful. Hey. How about that, huh? Happy birthday, you dork.
That's so good.
You big geek. I mean, we're going to talk to Garth Lagerwey, the GM of the Sounders. He's going to come by later in the day, and we'll ask Garth, man. I mean, does it make you uncomfortable that Jackson Feltz actually grabbed Jordan Morris's ass during a media availability? Does that bother you?
I can't believe he did that.
I mean, said something Dick and I would have done when we were 20 or 21, but not 30 years old. So anyway, I know you're fired up for this. We're all fired up for this. We'll talk a lot about the match tonight. Grant Wall is going to swing by here. One of the, I would say, the preeminent soccer writer in our country. Would you say that, Jackson?
Yes.
Grant Wall,
yes.
He's definitely up there. He'll join us today on the radio show. He's going to come by Jimmy's and hang out. Garth Lagerwey is going to be here. Our buddy Stretch is going to be here. Mike Florio will join us in a matter of minutes from now and talk some NFL. And then at 4 o'clock, of course, our buddy Petros Papadakis. But I also heard Furness driving in today, and I was like, man, who peed in your matzo ball soup? He's complaining about the 6:30 start for this game against the Buccaneers in Germany. I don't know what you think, Dick. I think it's awesome to do it as a one-off for one game, to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, make some eggs, get a couple Bloody Marys going, maybe early brunch or whatever, watch the game at 6:30 in the morning. And then guess what, man? By the end of the game, it's 9:30, and you're free to do whatever the hell you want the rest of the day. I think it's great for a one-time thing.
I can see it both ways, because for people that complain about the start, I mean, you know, you can sleep in until 7:30 or 8, turn the game on,
DVR, right.
And you'll be done with the game at the exact same time everybody that got up for the 6:30 start will be, by fast-forwarding through the commercials. So that's not an issue at all. I've done that many, many times. Coming home for a 10 o'clock Seahawks game, get home from church at like 10:45, boom, by halftime I've caught up with everybody else. So it's no big deal. I do question, however, why you would start the game at 6:30 a.m., when one of the teams is playing in that time zone, one of the fan bases, because it's only a 9-hour time difference.
Yeah.
You can start at 9:30 Seattle time and have it be a 6:30 kickoff in Munich, a nighttime kickoff in Munich.
Okay.
Why would they have to start at 3:30 in Munich? Why couldn't they just push it back to an evening game so you have a 9:30, a more normal start time? Maybe they don't want to conflict with the 10 a.m. games, but
maybe.
I mean, the Seahawk fan base, you know, one of the few West Coast fan bases, the ones that have to suffer getting up at 6:30 if you do have an issue with it and want to watch it live.
Yeah, I just don't think it's an issue at all for me. I mean, I think it's awesome. I go the opposite way. You know, I'm not complaining about it. I think it's actually cool. I mean, again, to experience something, how often will you be able to wake up at 6:30 a.m. in the morning and watch your NFL football team play live? Hardly ever.
Well, it sounds like more and more.
Not often.
I mean, it's going to be once every other year now, probably. It won't be It won't be special 5, 10 years
sure.
from now. It's special right
well,
now.
Well, there might be a damn team there in 5 or 10 years from now. There might be two teams there in 5 or 10 years. Who knows? They might have a whole freaking league, and it might be champions of the NFL play the champions of the ENFL, European National Football League, and they meet in the super, super, duper Super Bowl one day. I don't know. I just think it's cool to be able to experience something new as a novelty, and maybe after a while you get tired of it. I just think, look, and maybe you're right. They don't want to conflict with the 10 a.m. games. They want this thing to stand on its own, and that's what these games always do. They always stand on their own. Let's talk to Mike Florio about that right now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
Are you looking for last-minute tickets for the Puma Sounders match tonight? The biggest match in Sounders history. Ticket prices are actually starting to go up. $87 to get in the door right now at VenueKings.com for tonight's match. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little bit of a discount. Here he is from the NFL on NBC, ProFootballTalk.com, courtesy of Venue Kings, our buddy Mike Florio. How are you, pal?
Doing great. How are you?
We're doing good. Getting ready for a big soccer match tonight. Are you a soccer fan? Do you find yourself watching soccer a lot?
There was a period of time about 8 years ago when I discovered the FIFA game on PS4,
video.
That was the big platform at the time, and it taught me a lot about soccer, and I started watching it. But I've been so into football in recent years that when it's time to not work on NFL stuff, I just, like, watch movies or hang out with my wife and watch TV, and I just get away from sports altogether. So it's all football all the time for me.
No, I got you. Well, let's start with that because the NFL announcing the international games today, and Dick was just asking, Seahawks in Tampa Bay in Germany, and they're playing the game at 6:30 a.m. It's only, what, 9 hours difference between here and Munich, so you could have pushed it back and played it maybe later in the evening in Munich, but I think it's cool. I think it's fun. A lot of people don't like the 6:30 a.m. kickoff time. What goes into all this when the NFL decides these games?
I don't know. They don't consult with me. The idea is, though, they like that fourth window on Sunday, so instead of having the international game dumped in with all the 1 o'clock Eastern games, they like to break them out. And I think that's a trend we're going to see happen more often. There used to be one or two of the international games that would be lumped in with the 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific kickoffs. They want more windows because they want people to be betting on more games, and the more games that are broken out of that cluster on Sunday afternoon, the more people bet. I think it's that simple, because it would have been easy to bump this to a game that starts at a time when people are actually awake at a normal hour and don't have to set their alarm for 6:25 a.m. on a Sunday. I also was wondering, from where Seattle is to where Germany is it faster to fly over Asia?
Yeah, it's only an hour slower from Seattle than it is from Tampa.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Could you fly over to the North Pole? Would that even make more sense? I don't know. It's just amazing to me that they're making the Seahawks go that far. With all the other teams that are available, of all teams in the NFL, the Seahawks have to go all the way to Germany.
When does the novelty wear off? I mean, Dave talked about before you were on how it's cool. It's still fresh, right? But at some point, I mean, year after year, there's more and more and more of these games. I mean, are we going to reach the saturation point here pretty soon?
It's not for us, though. It's not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of the people in the other countries. They're trying to spread the virus that is pro football to other countries. Every time they play a game in one of the stadiums in London, and they're going to have, what, three there this year? Between Wembley and Tottenham Hotspur, they'll sell them out instantly. They'll sell them out. And some of the teams, like the Jaguars, make more money playing a game in Jacksonville than they do playing a game, in their home away from Jacksonville than they do in Jacksonville. So I think that it's not for the domestic crowd by any means, and it doesn't matter to us. You turn your TV on, you open your phone, flip your laptop on, whatever the case may be, however you consume games. It looks the same no matter where they could play it. They could play it on the freaking moon. It doesn't matter. As long as they build an NFL stadium, it's going to look the same. The gravity thing might make a moon game more interesting. Huh. But it's about getting people in other countries more interested in football. So if they can go see games, they get more interested. And it's about expanding the reach. It's a 100-year, not a 10-year, not a 20-year. It's a 100-year plan to make football the number two most popular sport in the world behind soccer. And, hell, they took over baseball at a time when no one thought they would take over baseball. So who knows? 200 years from now, who knows where football is going to be in comparison to soccer or any other sport.
Well, how close are we, Mike? And again, Mike Florio with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. How close are we to actually seeing a team base full-time overseas?
Well, it would be in London, and I think if it was one team, it would be two. That was Al Michaels' point about a return to L.A. If the NFL ever goes back to L.A., it'll be two teams, and look, it was two teams. And you've got two NFL stadiums in London, so you could have two teams there. It would be a natural rivalry. They'd play each other twice per year. You cut down on the travel cost and the expense. But the big issue comes in the reality that, think about it now, you got a road game. For the most part, and I know for teams like Seattle, when you fly to New York, you don't fly out Saturday and fly back Sunday. But for a lot of these teams, you leave Saturday and you're home Sunday night. The guy isn't away very long from his normal routine, family, apartment, life, whatever. When you have a team based in London, what will happen is, I assume, they'll come to the United States and be here for 3 weeks at a time.
Right.
Because why be going back and forth? So, and the other thing, too, if they ever bring back true supersonic flight, then that becomes easier. But you have tax rates, you have exchange rates, you have all sorts of things that would complicate it. But I was told 4 or 5 years ago, if the Jaguars wanted to move to London, they would get enough support from the NFL to do it. So I think it's just a matter of time, and it would be two teams, not one. And maybe it'll be an expansion team, an existing team, I don't know. But I think it's going to happen at some point.
Mike, DK says that he thinks something's going to get done with Seattle. Where does he slot in the wide receiver pay scale? Or because he's the next one, he just automatically goes to the top?
Or gets the A.J. Brown deal. I mean, they're teammates at Mississippi. They entered the draft in the same round the same year. Their numbers were almost identical as rookies. I think DK's better than A.J. Brown, but not by much. And I, if I'm DK, I just go to the Seahawks and say, just give me the A.J. Brown deal, and we're good. And the philosophical question the team has to ask itself, and the Titans resolved it one way, the Eagles resolved it another way, are you willing to pay a bunch of money to a proven veteran receiver when you can go out and get receivers in the draft? The Titans decided, and this is a bold move by them, they decided, you know, they'd gotten a lottery ticket, they scratched off, it was a winner in A.J. Brown, they traded in for another lottery ticket before they even reaped the payday. At least keep the guy around for a second contract. The whole idea of using those draft picks is to get good players and keeping them around. It was stunning to me that the Titans' attitude is, well, okay, we'll just find another A.J. Brown. You can't assume that Treylon Burks is going to go in and be A.J. Brown. You can't assume that. There's a bust rate. So I think the Seahawks would very much like to keep DK Metcalf around. I think there's some tension in the organization between rebuild and reload. I suspect that Pete Carroll would want to keep as many great players as possible right now, even if you don't have a great quarterback to get him the ball. The challenge for the offense, though, come up with ways to get DK Metcalf the ball. Don't just tell him to go run deep and I'll throw it to you if you're open. Jet screen, bubble screen, handoff, put him in the backfield, do the stuff that they do with Deebo Samuel. That's the way to get the most out of DK Metcalf. And if you pay him, it becomes imperative to do that.
That was actually Russell's favorite play to DK. Hey, just run deep. If you're open, I'll get it to you, all right? And we saw how that worked out. But Mike Florio is with us on the radio show. How much of the DeAndre Hopkins suspension led the Cardinals to make the trade for Hollywood Brown, or would they have made that move anyway, you think?
I think they were going to make that move anyway because he's not gone for a year. He's just gone for six games.
Right.
It's a weird spot for the Cardinals. What do you do to replace DeAndre Hopkins for six games? He's coming back. And I think you just have to treat it as if he's injured. And, you know, there's going to be guys injured at the start of the season. So he's basically injured. He's not available for 6 weeks. Next man up and off we go. It'd be intriguing to see if Antonio Brown, if he would have gotten his ankle surgery, if he would have been an option for a short period of time since he's Hollywood's cousin. But, yeah, I think the Cardinals were making that trade either way. I think it was part of the effort to extend an olive branch to Kyler Murray as they try to mend fences with him and avoid a blow up there. So once DeAndre is back, I think, you know, they'll be fine. But it makes even more important the Cardinals' first six games of the season. Are they going to have him or are they not going to have him for tough games, easy games, whatever the case may be? You want to win as many games as you can without him. You'd like to get a cluster of some winnable games early in the year.
What did last week mean for Baker Mayfield? He stays in Cleveland thus far. Is there a decent chance he continues to stay there as maybe an insurance policy for Deshaun Watson?
I think there's more of a chance than people realize. Look, the Trevor Bauer suspension last week was the lightning bolt for me that made me say, we just assume it's going to be a 6-game, 8-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. Why do we assume that? On what basis do we support this idea that he's not going to get suspended for a full year? What do we have? Now, the only thing that we have that's tangible is, and it's semi-tangible, the Dolphins were going to trade for him last year if he had settled all 22 cases. The Dolphins were under the impression that if that happened, he would be suspended 6 games. But that doesn't mean they had reliable information. The NFL doesn't tell anybody anything about this stuff. They keep the cards close to the vest. They don't make a decision until they have to. And this Trevor Bauer suspension, I think, raises the stakes for the NFL because the optics are already bad that he goes straight to Cleveland and gets a gigantic, fully guaranteed contract with 22 pending civil lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct during massage sessions. And you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. I had somebody raise this point with me the other day, and I dismissed it initially because the PED suspension, it's a formula. You test positive, you're out 6 games. But, you know, when you have DeAndre Hopkins saying, I don't know what happened, I took a tainted supplement, and I'm suspended 6 games, the average casual Super Bowl fan who maybe watches a few other games during the year, how do you justify 6 games for Deshaun Watson with 22 lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct during massage sessions and 6 games for a guy who is insisting without rebuttal that he took a tainted supplement and he had a trace amount of a PED and he got 6 games? I think you're going to have people who make that apples-to-apples comparison and say, wait a minute, Deshaun Watson should be out for a lot longer than 6 games if that's the rule.
Yeah, we'll see. Interesting stuff. Michael,
and if that's the case, they keep Baker Mayfield. They convince Baker Mayfield to deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it while I finish my point. Deal with it, come have a big year, and then 2023 you go somewhere and get paid.
Yeah, well, let's just get one follow-up on that. If he does get released by the Browns, where do you think he ends up?
Well, I thought Pittsburgh, but that's over now.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets released by the Browns. I think the Browns, because the Browns are going to pay him $17.7 million anyway if he's released, because he'll sign somewhere for the minimum of $1.035 million, and the Browns will owe the difference. I think they're just going to keep him if they can't find a trade partner, and I think they'll run it all the way up to the trade deadline.
Wow.
And again, they may need the guy all year long, depending upon what happens with Deshaun Watson.
Michael, you're the man. Good stuff. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk in a week. See
you, Mike. See you, guys.
Mike Florio with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. If you check my Twitter account, by the way, at SoftyKJR, you can find out how you can enter to win a $150 Simply Seattle shopping spree. They literally will let you into their warehouse. They'll leave. They'll close the door and let you go crazy and grab whatever you want for $150. Very cool deal. So check out my Twitter account for more information on that at SoftyKJR. We're going to break. Petros Papadakis, by the way, who does not enjoy the music of a local Seattle superstar. We'll find out who that is and what the hell his problem with the guy is coming up at 4 o'clock today. Garth Lagerwey is going to join us, the GM of the Sounders. Grant Wall is going to come by and talk about tonight's big freaking match. It's a massive, massive effing deal for the club. You'll hear the game at 7 o'clock tonight with Pumas right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All righty. Well, I don't know what the big news is in your world, pal, but the big news for me, Sounders Pumas coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. This place is going to be electric at 7 p.m. tonight. Maybe one of the crazier atmospheres we've ever seen at Lumen Field, right? You and I were both at the Packers, Seahawk, Carolina, Seahawk, Niners, Seahawk NFC Championship games, and Seahawk playoff games, the whole thing that are loud, I just think it's just a different type of electricity, yeah. Right, at a soccer match, especially when you've got all these visiting fans coming in. So this is an insane game tonight over at Lumen Field. We're going to have the game for you on FM radio, 93.3 KJR-FM tonight. A massive effing deal for the club.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
As Brian Schmetzer has referred to it tonight. And I'm frankly, I can't wait to get in there and just see what it looks like and feels like in that stadium tonight. I'm fired up.
I think the best comparison has got to be the MLS Cup in December of 2019 because that place was absolutely packed to the gills. I was basically, my back was touching the top of the rafters at Lumen Field for that
game. Did you have a telescope with you?
I did.
And an oxygen mask?
I needed it, but you know, it was absolutely worth it. And just as fun as the game was just being a part of that march to the match. I mean, it was the largest. I mean, Jackson could probably attest to this. I have to imagine it was the largest march to the match in March to the match history.
Yes, it was.
How many people think were marching to the match?
Oh, my God.
That day.
5,000 to 10,000.
Wow, that's a lot of marchers.
I mean, it was literally like you could not fit any more people in a city block.
Yeah.
I mean, I was squeezing my kids' hands.
I like it.
And like with a death grip, because if I let them go, I would have never seen them again.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cool.
No, I can't wait for tonight, man. I'm fired up for it. We got a big 5 o'clock hour. Garth Lagerwey from the Sounders is going to join us after 5. Grant Wall is going to join us after 5. The former radio play-by-play voice of the Sounders, who, I'll be honest with you, I still think should be the play-by-play voice of the Sounders on radio. All that stretch was doing an awesome job, and I'm disappointed he was let go, and sorry to hear that they have not yet brought him back, and hopefully down the road one day that can and will happen, because I think it's always important for franchises like that, Dick, and really any business, to have people working for you that love your company.
Yes.
And Matt Stretch Johnson loves this soccer team, and he loves this sport, so he's going to come by and talk with us as well at some point this afternoon. But on the opposite of the exciting scale is what happened in Houston today by your Seattle Mariners. I mean, it's only, you know, May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day, for God's sakes. But remember after they took 2-3 against the Astros to start the year?
Yep.
And we said, hey, it's a nice little statement, whatever. Yep. It doesn't mean a lot, but it's, you know, I guess the opposite would have been if the Astros came here and kicked your ass. Well, they just waited 3 weeks to do that because they kicked our ass for 3 straight games in Houston. They were swept. They lose 7-2 this afternoon. They end the road trip 2-7. They get outscored 14-2. They are shut out in 26 of 27 innings against the Astros. They've lost 7 of 8. They're now 12-13. And they just got annihilated in 3 straight games by the Houston Astros. So, look, I mean, obviously Matt Brash is getting knocked around like a pinata in his last couple starts. He's got 10 earned runs allowed his last 5 innings pitched, 6 walks, 6 strikeouts, 10 hits overall in the last couple of games against Miami and against Houston. The offense isn't doing much. I put a tweet out today saying the exact same stuff that you and I were saying yesterday, Dick, on the air, that outside of J.P. Crawford and Ty France, nobody has an OPS on this baseball team over like 740, and nobody besides those guys is hitting over 240. Your follow-up is correct that it's emblematic of what's happening in baseball right now, but still, it's a problem in this clubhouse as well, right? It might be a problem elsewhere, but it's also a problem here. It's like, you know, when your kid comes home with an F, by the way, and says, well, everybody else is getting D's. Okay, what do I care? You got to fix your problem first and fix your house first. So, hey, look, the good news is it's only the 24th damn game of the year. They're running into some good pitching. They'll see more good pitching against Tampa and McClanahan tomorrow, who was awesome last year. So I just think there's still some scars that a lot of Mariner fans have offensively after what we saw last season that may are kind of, you know, maybe getting opened up again right now.
Well, there's a formula for this team to win, and we saw it work to perfection last year when they won 90 games, and that is get up early and let your bullpen hang on. Because your bullpen is the best part of this team. They never got to use their bullpen.
Nah, never did. No,
this entire series, there wasn't one inning that the bullpen came in to try to protect the lead because they never had the lead in the series. So that's really what's disappointing. What's bizarre, I mean, I guess that's just a testament to how baseball is. Like, when we played Houston a couple of weeks ago, not only did you win 2 of 3, you just look like the better team.
Right.
And it wasn't
not
even particularly close.
Right.
And then you flip it here 2 weeks, and maybe it was just a pissed off Houston team because they realized they looked like the worst team against the Mariners a couple weeks ago. But there was no question who the better team was the last three games.
Yeah, this was kind of eye-opening, and maybe it was just one of those deals where the Astros just said, look, man, whatever you thought you did to us a few weeks ago, we're going to give it right back to you in spades this time. But, yeah, they got smoked. And, you know, look, am I concerned about anything? I mean, not really. You know, look, I mean, the team is not playing well. They've lost 7 of 8. The offense looks awful, but there's reasons for that, right? Like, Adam Frazier's not hitting. Kelnick's not hitting.
Mitch Haniger's not even
hitting. Haniger's not even freaking playing, for God's sakes. And a guy like Jesse Winker, who last year, you picked this guy up from the Reds really for one reason, because the guy murders righties. Well, he's not doing that right now. Last year, the guy hit 346 with a 1070 OPS against right-handers. Now he's hitting what against righties? I just had it in front of me. He's hitting .177 with a 516 OPS. I mean, his batting average and his OPS right now against righties are chopped in half versus what they were a year ago. And at some point, you need that guy to start hitting, because let's face it, Dick, he was one of your premier pickups offensively over the offseason. Gino Suarez and Jesse Winker were two of the big reasons why this franchise did not go out and spend money on free agents. And right now, one of the two is doing nothing, and the other guy's either striking out or going yard.
Well, the good news about this team is you just got to look at the amount of guys that are overperforming versus the amount of guys that are underperforming.
Lots
and
under,
it's
right.
7-2 right now.
Oh, totally.
It is 7-2. It's only Ty France and J.P. Crawford on this offense that are performing better than what we expected them to perform. France at 917, J.P. at 1,043. I mean, those two are going to come down by 150, 200 points over the next month or two. These other guys like Suarez, like Winker, like Kelenic, I mean, Frazier, those guys have got to go up by 150 points.
Yeah.
And then if all those things happen, you're going to have a pretty good offense on your hand by June.
And I don't feel real comfortable quoting averages and all that stuff this early in the year, but, you know, they played 24 games. It's not like it's only been 5 games
seventh
or 10
season,
games.
Right?
Yeah, we're getting close to, you know, getting to that one, you know, fifth pole of the year. So it's getting to be not the C word yet, which is concern, but it's closer to it today than it was obviously a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I mean, what do? They just wait for these guys all to step up? You know, I saw where Ryan Divish was talking about Scott Service, saying that your boy Jared Kelnick, your favorite Mariner of all time, you're the president of the local Jared Kelnick fan club. I think you've established that for sure, that his at-bats, his approach have looked better. He's doing some good things on defense. There's no question about that. And, you know, I've been saying it for the last year. I think he's a corner outfielder, not a center fielder. He looks so much more comfortable in left and so much more comfortable in right. He's got wheels. He can chase down fly balls, unlike some guys in this league. So at least he's bringing something to the table. Last year, the guy just looked like a freaking egg salad sandwich mentally. And I don't know if that's where this guy is right now. His approach does look better. He's hitting balls harder, but at some point, hitting balls hard is not enough. We need production.
Yeah, he still doesn't have that confident look in his eyes, and why should he? But I mean, I guess if he could have any history in Major League Baseball that he could fall back on and say, okay, I've been through this before, and here's how
knows.
I overcame
totally,
it.
Yeah.
He's never been able to do that.
Last year, but he hasn't overcome it, right?
And
but
you remember, that's what I'm saying. He's never had a significant stretch in Major League Baseball where he was good and had it figured out, where he can use that experience and say, all right, I just need to go back to doing this. I know I can hit in this league. He has got to be thinking right now. There has got to be demons in him right now saying, dude, you are never going to hit in this league. And he's got to fight those demons off right now.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. I thought you were going to say he's never really had a rough stretch in the minor leagues where he wasn't hitting the ball very well. And I'm looking at his minor league numbers. He had 21 games in AA Arkansas in 2019 when he hit .253. With an .857 OPS, he had 44 games in Kingsport in the rookie league for the Mets, where he was hitting .250, but that's as bad as it got for Jared Kelnick. So he's hit at every level he's been at. So they got to find a way to climb out of this, man. No question about that. Robbie Ray, we talked yesterday about the definition of an ace, a guy that ends losing streaks. Well, here you go. Right? I mean, you freaking signed the American League Cy Young Award winner for exactly this reason, to put an end to this crap starting starting tomorrow.
Well, and there's another guy that's really kind of underperformed. I mean, he's been underwhelming. He hasn't been bad, but he's been underwhelming. I think anybody that would say, hey, Robbie Ray's first five starts, he's going to be 2-2 with a 4-1 ERA, and he's going to have a WAR of minus .1, you'd be like, well, wait a second. We didn't sign Robbie Ray to be a three-starter.
Yeah.
Those are the numbers of a three-starter. We signed Robbie Ray to be an ace. He's got to step up and be an ace beginning tomorrow.
Well, Logan Gilbert's the ace. So, again, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, then you're looking at Logan Gilbert to end it, you know. And, you know, again, this is one of the whole things about, you know, ERA and things like that. You mentioned his ERA is what right now? 4.15. Yeah. Is that right, Robbie Ray? Well, six of his 14 runs came in one game, right? So he's had really, of his five starts, I think he's had four good starts. Three really good starts, went seven, gave up one the opener, went six, gave up two in game three, and went six and gave up two in game four.
Was that the monsoon?
And then five innings, and then five innings and three runs against Miami. But the one game that killed him is that game against Chicago where he got blasted for six games in the rain.
And,
so outside of that, he's been okay. All right, we got a break. Petros Papadakis will join us at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Getting ready for the Sounders and Pumas at 7 o'clock tonight, baby. The match of the century right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Don't be confused. We're still your home for the Huskies, Kraken, and Seattle's best NFL draft coverage. It's just become more clear. Crystal clear. As Seattle's only FM sports station. Sports Radio 93.3. KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, we're back here at Jimmy's on First. Doors are about to be flung open. Is that the right verbiage?
Yes.
Flung open, right? In the next 12 minutes here on Sports Radio 93.3. KJRFM, our buddy Kelso and his entire staff are waiting for the doors to fling open, where Sounder fans, Pumas fans will be walking in here, drinking heavily, partaking, getting ready for the Sounders match tonight at 7 o'clock tonight. Petro's going to join us at 4 o'clock. And I got to, by the way, tell you that starting next week, once a week through like the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to have an Emerald Queen Day from the sports book every single week. And our day this week, actually, I said it starts next week. It starts tomorrow, actually. We're going to be at the Emerald Queen tomorrow at their sports book. Mike Holmgren's going to join us. Brett Boone's going to join us on the radio show. We're going to have Kalen DeBoer on at some point later on this week. And I want to talk to Petros about that quarterback battle and bring up your take from yesterday about, or was it 2 days ago? I can't remember. Naming a starting quarterback now at UW and not waiting until the fall to do that. And, you know, look, I get your point that what you're looking for is you want to have a guy that is so clearly head and shoulders above everybody else that he's obviously your guy. And you think that Michael Penix is that guy right now, that he is so clearly head and shoulders above Dylan Morris and Sam Huard, where it's a waste of time to continue waiting to name him the starting quarterback.
Well, the only information I have to go on is what I've seen. I've seen every start from Dylan Morris. I've seen every pass he's ever thrown in college
and
football.
And Sam Huard.
And
seen every start and every pass, right? One game, yeah.
And then what I've seen from Michael Penix, and then that's not just highlights. I've watched full games of Michael Penix, and he just looks to me like a more accomplished quarterback, a better quarterback, a more mobile quarterback. Accuracy, strength of arm, they're kind of six and one, half a dozen the other. But the intangibles, the dynamics that he brings to the field, Dylan Morris doesn't even have a sniff of those type of dynamics.
Yeah, well, the guy is, he's gone in the last 4 years, and he was actually 54% a year ago, 57% the year before that, and then 2019 was up at 68, and then as a freshman, he threw 34 passes, but he was at 62%. So he's actually gotten progressively worse as an accurate passer in the last 3 years.
But part with DeBoer, of that, he was number one, right?
Sure.
It was his best year.
Yeah, 2019, right. And then when he took off and went to Fresno State, things kind of fell apart. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you asked me off the air, like what if Bryce Young transferred to UW?
Right.
Well, different story. This guy's not Bryce Young.
Okay.
Right? I mean, even Caleb Williams, who went to USC, this guy's not Caleb Williams. So I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's probably an upper third in the Pac-12, but he's not an elite quarterback. He's not a Heisman Trophy Davey O'Brien candidate right now. So I would let him fight it out. You got four more weeks plus. And look, here's the other part of this thing, too, is that when coaches are evaluating quarterbacks, a lot of people think they get evaluated during spring ball and fall camp. Well, it's May the 4th. You've got 3 months until fall camp starts. There's a lot of crap that they get evaluated on between now and then, like film study, preparation, practice habits, you know, attendance habits, leadership habits, things like that. So, I just think from Kalen DeBoer's perspective, and we can talk to him. I think he's going to be on the air with us either tomorrow or Friday on the radio show. You got 4 months to really, you know, absorb everything that this guy has to offer, and then also see what does he do to Dylan Morris, what does he do to Sam Heward, and how do they respond to it. So I don't. No, I think naming this guy the starter right away, unless he's an unbelievably accomplished quarterback who's transferring from a school that won a national championship or a, you know, big-time bowl game a year ago, I'm just not sure how that would sit in the locker room,
and
man.
I'm okay doing it early in fall camp, but I would ask if you're going to wait again, like we have done numerous times in the last 5 or 6 years, literally until Elise Woodward walks on the field during the broadcast to tell us who the starting quarterback is week one, I would just ask, what is the logic behind that?
But that's not what they're doing, though. That may be when you find out about it, but that's not what they're doing. You're being sarcastic, obviously.
No, that's when we found out.
Right, but who cares when we find out?
Right.
I mean, why is that important?
Well, when do you think Dylan Morris was actually named the starter and the team knew?
Right.
You think it was weeks ahead of time? You think it was days?
It was definitely a week ahead of time, for sure. I mean, the other guy, who's the guy that transferred and got hurt, right? The guy that hurt his shoulder last year. What was the kid's name? I'm forgetting his name now. No, it was the error guy.
Transferred?
It was the error guy. The other kid, the quarterback that showed up a year ago and got banged up in practice.
Oh,
and there's a lot of people that thought he was going to be the starter. Right. We thought he was going to be the starter. And then the rumor is, the word is that he separated his shoulder in camp. Like the last week and a half of fall camp, he got hit in the sideline and blew his shoulder out. And that he was on pace to be the starting quarterback for the football team. And then once he got hurt, they had no choice but to make Dylan Morris the guy. And that guy took some time. His name is escaping me, right? I can't believe I forgot the guy's name. I mean, he's gone now. He was here for like 6 months. Yeah. But I think the team knew absolutely a week or so before the first game. And I think that Jimmy, look, I have no idea how Kalen DeBoer is going to play this. We can ask him this week when he comes on with us, man. Is this going to be one of those deals where you want the world to know who the starting quarterback is, or do you want to keep it secret? I'm kind of with you that I would like to hear it announced publicly because I want to see how that guy responds to all that. How does he respond to being the cock of the walk on campus before he plays his first game?
Well, at least he's been there before. I mean, he's been a starting quarterback for multiple years now. And I just think, I want to be able to have this fan base, I want to be able to have this team just rally around a guy and say, you know what, 2022 is going to be different.
Kevin Thompson was the guy, by the way. Thank you, Kevin.
2022 is going to be different, and this is one of the reasons why. Market him. Put him up there on the billboards. Put him on the TV commercials. Pay him some money to do some. Be the quarterback of the University of Washington for 2022.
I don't think
you can do that if you name him a week in advance.
Well, but you don't know who the guy is yet, though.
Right.
I mean, you can't even do it if you don't know who the guy is, right? I mean, what's more important, getting all that stuff or making sure you have the right quarterback? Once that happens, totally with you.
Well, why do we
1,000%?
Why do we all think that Penix is the guy now?
Yeah.
What's going to change drastically other than an injury to make Dylan Morris leap Michael Penix over the next 4 months?
I mean, I was talking to one guy today, one ex-coach from UW, who thought that Sam Heward looked the best of the three at the spring game on Saturday. And then he's taken a massive leap from where he was a year ago.
That would excite me.
I think that's part of it. I think there's also politics involved, honestly. I mean, you're talking about parents of players that want to know that their kids are getting a fair shake. And if you give this guy the job, the minute he steps off a plane from Indiana, they may not feel like that. I mean, listen, you have a 5-star quarterback on your roster right now who you're trying to keep on campus and not transfer. I think giving Penix the starting quarterback job before Sam Heward even gets to fall camp and has a shot to compete would anger a lot of people over there. Let's get a break. Petros Papadakis. We'll ask him what he thinks. Coming up next right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.